morning, everyone, and welcome to our discussion on the annual CPM. We are here to answer questions from a previous call. I do want to let you know that this call is being recorded. My name is Jody Cross, and I will be facilitating. We are going to go around the room and do introductions. Ahead of time, I would like to know if there is anyone from the CPC on the line. If you could press #2 on your phone. I just want to make sure someone from the CPUC is on the call. I don't need you to answer a question. Great. Thank you so much. If you could just press #2 to put your hand back down, you're perfect. Thank you. And throughout the call, we will be taking additional questions or clarifications. Okay, great. There's 3 of you. That's perfect. You will need to press #2 to enter the queue for you to answer or for asking questions or for clarification on anything that we are, any of the information we are giving you. So with that, we will go around the room for introductions.
Hi, this is Ginger Quintaval. I'm the Manager of Customer Experience at the ISO.
Welcome to the operations.
Mark Richardson, Customer Service.
Adam Mika, Regional Transmission North.
David Zlotlow, ISO Legal.
Brian Rothstein, Settlements.
Jeremy Malenko, Settlements.
All right, and with that, we will hand it over to Ginger.
Okay, so the plan for the call is we're going to read each question and the answer. There are a couple of these that we're probably going to have a discussion around. So Gotham is going to read that. If you do have a question on a specific question before we finish it, please go ahead and let Jody know so we can #2 so we can address those before we move on. And we'll begin.
Yeah, so this is Mark Richardson. So all impacted parties that have a CPM allocation should have received an email from me this morning giving you that allocation amount both for your individual and collective deficiency in the PGE and or SDGE TAC area. If you do not receive that, please feel free to reach out to me or reach out to the parties in your organization that submitted the annual showings because those are the contacts I sent that to.
All right, let's move on to the some of the questions that we received from the last call. Should I read out the question as well, or do I have answers?
Yeah, that's true.
The first question is pending in FERC docket number ER181. On the agenda for Thursday is 118 FERC open meeting. Is the ISO's RSI phase 1B to filing, in which 6 discrete tariff changes were filed on 9/29/2017 with a requested effective date of 2/15/2018 this year. One such phase 1B change filed by the ISO was to cap an LSE's local obligation at the system requirement. How does the ISO intend to factor FERC approval of this tariff change into its LSE CPM cost allocation? The answer to that is this is an annual CPM cost allocation that already happened, so it will follow the current tariff as it was written when the designation was made. So we are not like really changing any of the local requirements or reallocating the cost because of the RSI 1B and 2 filing. The next question we have is, when is the ISO going to notify LSEs of the expected allocation? So we already did that. So Mark Richardson sent an email to all the impacted LSEs. So you should have received an email from ISO. For each month, you'll have an individual CPM allocation megawatt and a collective CPM allocation megawatt. So that will just give you a breakup of the individual and collective. So the sum of it will give you the total CPM credit that that you're going to get part of the month ahead RA process. So some of that number will be used in reducing your local requirement as well as your system requirement. So that's just so that you get an understanding of how many CPM credits you get for every month. So moving on to the next question.
No, we got questions. So we'll take the first question.
Sorry, this is Nick from CPC. I think I just forgot to put my hand down again.
All right, thank you, Nick. We'll take the next question.
Hi, this is Noah from San Diego Gas Electric. Mark, would it be possible for you to send the January and February values as well? Because since we're going to be receiving costs for those months, we should also want to get the individual as well as the collective CPMs?
Absolutely, I can do that.
Great, thanks.
All right, and the next caller, please.
Hi, this is Sonoma Clean Power. I had a quick question. Why was it that we didn't receive this information in November when the CAISO was deciding the CPM?
Well, at November, we didn't have the information. In other words, the CPM was not designated in November. So the designation was effective January 1st, and we made the designation in the last week of December, so 12/22. And since the RA showings for January and February are due like T-45, we had already received the showings. And that's the reason we decided to allocate all the credits starting for the March RA month.
And one quick follow-up. Why did it take so long then from October 31st until the last week of December to determine what that need was?
Hi, this is Carolyn with the ISO. So on October 31st, the LSCs are making the showings. It takes the ISO, you know, a few days to gather all the LSC showings together. Then it takes about 2 weeks to run the study. So we actually take all of your showings together. We put the results back in the base cases that come up with the requirements to make sure the requirements are met. We rerun the studies to find out if they actually met the requirements or not. The units were effective on mitigating the constraints or not. But then we put another market notice out informing if everything was okay or not, and giving a list of the people with additional units that might need to be procured. And we have, based on the tariff requirement, we need to give LSCs another 30 days to do additional procurement. So that happened by November 14th, I think it was 13, when we sent the market notice out. And we had to give LSEs 30 days to do additional procurement. And that ended on December 14. So from December 14, the ISO reanalyzed the showing, the additional showing that came in. And by November 22nd, so within a week, we made the designation. So we did it as fast as we could. We couldn't do it any faster than that.
Okay. Any additional questions from Sonoma Clean Power? Okay. And with this, I'm just going to give a friendly reminder. When you are done asking your questions, please press pound 2 so your hand actually goes out of the queue. And then when you are coming on, when your line is released, please state your name and your affiliation so we know who we're speaking with. So with that, we'll take the next caller.
Hi, this is Gary Lawson with SMUD. We're a wholesale energy services provider for Valley Clean Energy. Question, VCEA, because they're just launching and actually had not had their implementation plan certified until very recently, didn't make the annual filing last fall. Will VCEA be allocated any of the CPM?
Not a year ahead, CPM. There'll be any additional CPM in the month ahead when they are when they're supposed to make their own filings, yes to those.
Okay, thank you very much.
Moving on to the next question. If an LSE were to obtain local capacity and nominate additional local capacity in its monthly plan, would the ISO reduce the quantity of CPM allocated to the LSE? Specifically, there are resources in Cluster 10 that LSEs are waiting for capacity status for use in 2018. The answer to that is no, because that's part of the month-ahead process, and the CPM was done in the annual process. So we are not going to change the allocated megawatts to all the LSEs. Next question is, how does this sync with the month-ahead showing templates that the LSEs are required to file with the CPUC? Good question. So I would probably ask the CPUC to provide a response if you have. Like, the question is, the LSEs are asking how do they provide the CPM credit on the CPUC's RA template.
So we're putting you on the spot, and we apologize. So if you don't want to answer, that's okay. If you would like to answer, can you please put a hand up?
Okay, and we'll take guest 18.
Caller, your phone may be muted. Please unmute your line.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is Lily Chow from CPUC. We've revised the system RA template to allow the LSEs to enter a CPM credit, and that will be taken into account when we're calculating whether the LSE is meeting their obligation.
Great. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Next question. Why is the CAISO implementing and assigning costs to LSEs that are not responsible for the shortfall of capacity? The answer to this is all LSEs are responsible for collective deficiency, and the tariff section that explains this is 43A.8.3. Why did the CAISO not CPM the flexible RA attributes if the price of the CPM was the same and CAISO is concerned with the inability to meet the increased 3-hour net load ramp? So the answer to this is there is no deficiency in flexible RA showing, therefore we don't have an authority to CPM flexible RA.
And just as a reminder, if you do have a question, press pound 2 to put your hand in the queue.
So were both the San Diego sub-area and combined San Diego LA Basin LCR studies used to determine the CPM level? The answer is yes. We always use combined studies. So please refer to the local capacity technical study that's posted on the CAISO website. So we can probably share the link when we post this.
And with that, we'll take the first question.
Hi, my name is Mohan Nirola with CDWR, and I had a question on a different topic, I think second or so. So we didn't know what allocation we would receive, and we submitted March plan already. So can I go ahead again and make revisions to the plan to reduce the amount that we receive credit for CPM and revise March plan and supply plan, both RA plan and supply plan?
Hey, Mohan, this is Gautam here. So from the monthly RA plan point of view, you don't have to put the CPM credit on the plan. Actually, there's no way to put the CPM credit on the plan because our system doesn't have a default CPM credit. So for the March RA month, I've already reduced the local requirement by the amount of the CPM credit. And then I've also given CPM credit as an RMR credit for system RA. So in the application on the UI, it will show up as an RMR credit, but that column, which is in the generic obligation report, is a sum of the default RMR credit plus the CPM credit that you'll get in reducing your system RA requirement. So for both local and system RA, the LSE doesn't have to do anything in terms of modifying the plan.
I know that.
Mohan,
my question was,
do you think how long in the March showing based on the new requirement amount?
Yeah, I submitted a plan without knowing those numbers, so I have already submitted the plan, so I need to revise to, you know, make changes to the credit. So I will have to reduce the megawatts in some of our local resources. So my question is, can I do that? Can I make revisions to March plan?
Give us 1 second, please.
Hey, Mohan, this is Mark. So you can go ahead and re-upload your supply plan, and then you're going to have to submit a city ticket with your new RA plan because, as you know, the system will not allow you to do that from March. With RSI 2017, you'll have the ability to re-upload that RA plan. But for March, you're going to have to submit a city ticket attaching your new RA plan, and I'll go ahead and upload that for you on your behalf.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. Next question, please.
Hi, this is Noah from SDG&E. Can we do that for February? We didn't know about the credit for February.
Well, Well, it's too late for February. I mean, it's past the T-minus 11, so the RF for February is already finalized.
I think that's I don't think that's reasonable with given the T minus 45 that's in the tariff. If you're allowing an exception for a reupload for for the crediting because someone didn't know about it, you should allow it for another month because we're not in the month yet.
No, we are allowing for a re-upload for March because that's well within the time frame of the month ahead RA process. So plans are due T-minus 45, but if an LSE made a mistake, they can resubmit the plan up until T-minus 11. So if I apply the same rule for February, we are like, what, T-minus 5, T-minus 6 now? And that's beyond the T-minus 11 deadline. So there is no way we can allow people to lower their RA or change the requirement because we haven't given a credit for January as well as February. Because if I were to do that, then I can also argue saying that lower my January requirement also. We are in the month, so why not lower the January requirement? So that's the reason we cannot change the January RA month RA as well as the February month RA.
And another factor I think would be that, this is David, the the potential month ahead CPMs for February would have happened already. And so, the snapshot that I sort of looked at to consider whether that such designation, the month ahead time frame, would occur have already happened, and therefore there's an element of the process has moved along too far for resubmissions for February to make sense.
And also the one more point I want to add to that is at T-minus 25 we assign a retestment requirement, and that's already done based on the RA showings that were submitted. So if I were to change that, then it will change the order of the whole outage stack because your underlying RA is changing, which will again cause a huge impact to LSEs for the month of February. So we are okay for March, but these are some of the reasons why we cannot allow a re-upload for the Feb RA.
Gotham, does the planned outage replacement analysis, did that take into consideration the CPM credit?
For the month of February, it didn't. We haven't given any CPM credit for January and February. So that's the reason I'm saying if I were to put the credit in, it changes the whole.
Now that you have the numbers for January and February, certainly for February, would the ISO rerun the plan outage analysis for outages in February? Or either, they might be new or the ones that were passed in T45?
No. So this is only applicable for March RA month going forward.
So you're going to allocate costs to LSEs, not give them the credit, not utilize the credit in February for plant outage replacement analysis. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct. So it applies for everything, not just the planned outage analysis. Even from your showings point of view, you'll not be able to use that, because the showings come in T-minus 45, which came in December, and we didn't even know about the CPM designation.
What I'm getting at is, if I submitted a planned outage for February now, will the ISO's analysis take into consideration the CPM credit?
No, so I think, this is David, I mean, what I understand the comment as being for January and February, you're being allocated the cost to pay for the CPM, but you're not getting a corresponding credit, and that seems like it's not balanced treatment. Is what I'm understanding your comment to really be driven by, and I think we could draw, for example, an example of the ED CPMs and significant event CPMs, which are the by far the more commonly used categories of designation, where the same thing happens, where
a cost is allocated to various LSEs, but it doesn't show up as a corresponding credit to the RA showing process, you know, because of the limitations of timing and such. And so I think here, the January and February crediting would be similar in that regard.
Yeah, I can understand that for exceptional dispatch. However, because it's an annual CPM, these credits are at the costs are more forward-looking. You certainly now that you know what the value the megawatts are, they can be added into the supply stack, right? The ISO has to meet the system requirements on a daily basis. Particularly for certainly for February, you know, if to the extent that if you're adding in extra 500 megawatts, you can allow 500 more megawatts to go on plan outage without replacement. Because I mean, effectively, when you're doing CPM and you're asking for replacement, you're doubling up.
Right. I mean, so I think from March forward, crediting will occur, and I think what Gotham was trying to explain, and I was trying to explain as well, is that for January and February, it's not feasible given other timing constraints of the overall RA process, and that to start giving, you know, accounting for it and crediting it in some aspects of the, you know, RA process, you know, the outage, you know, for substitution analysis and so on, you know, it's not creating a consistent treatment through the RA process for the January and February. In other words, from March forward, it'll be treated as RA credits that can be shown on supply plans, and then everything cascades from that. But, you know, I think for the January and February times, you know, it's not feasible to give it, account for it in some ways of the RA process, not others, and it wouldn't be
David, let me make sure we're on the same page. I'm over, I'll say I'm over the T45 issue. What I'm asking now is, for tomorrow, if I were to put in planned outage for sometime in February, will the ISO utilize the CPM amount as part of the supply stack to do the last in, first out order for replacement for planned outages?
Okay, so the hypothetical here is it's, you know, January 25th today. On January 26th, you submit a planned outage on a unit, and that planned outage is going to happen mid-February. Okay. And then the question is when the ISO analyzes that outage submitted tomorrow to occur mid-February, is that analysis going to factor in the fact that there's this capacity that was procured in the year ahead CPM? Is that the question?
That's correct.
Okay, well, I think we've defined the question. Let's
we're going to take a sidebar real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, hi, Noah. This is David again. So I think that's one that we're going to need to review and see exactly if the system is able to facilitate that and think about it a little bit more than the time we have on the call right now. So I think we'll take that as something to follow up on.
Okay, when do you think you'll have an answer?
I don't know if I can answer. I think we're going to have to...
We're going to have to do a little research, but
can do it.
We'll try to have an answer before February, I think, is appropriate. We can do that.
Sure.
Okay. And anything else, Noah?
No.
All right. Thank you. And so we'll go to the next question.
No,
he didn't put the hand down. Okay.
Yeah. Next question. All right. For both the San Diego sub area and combined, I think we covered that one, right? All right. Next one.
Did the San Diego CPM eliminate the need for a CPM in the LA Basin? The answer is no, there was no need for a CPM in the LA Basin to be simple. So during the LCR process, the ISO indicated that the San Diego LCR was increased to result in a lower LA Basin LCR. Why aren't the costs of Encina CPM spread across San Diego and LA Basin? So the answer is, again, please refer to the local capacity technical study, which talks about the methodology, and that's posted on our website.
All right, we'll take the first question.
This is Vic Kruger from San Diego Gas and Electric. Taking questions 7, 8, and 9 together, since your study combined West LA Basin with San Diego to determine the need, was the study done just for San Diego subarea for the needs? I'm confused about how the CPM level was set when you did a combined study for the two areas and then say it does not, in effect, help the West LA Basin.
One second, please.
Hi, Victor. This is Catalin. So basically, let me reiterate what we said before. So we do have an LCR criteria methodology and assumptions, and the LA Basin and San Diego are studied together in the same case. Then the methodology divides their requirements to both the LA Basin and San Diego. The LA Basin meet their requirements. They were actually long. They were actually probably helping a little more San Diego. San Diego was the one that the LSEs actually did not even met their requirements. So we decided that the remaining part was San Diego requirement alone because there was no more LA Basin requirement. And that's what drove the CPM. But the studies were combined. It was in the same case. We put all the showings together. We put all the LA Basin machines that were purchased together in the same case along with all the San Diego purchases. So they were all together. They were trying to help as much as they could for the San Diego constraint.
This is the problem we've had for the last couple of years. When you do the study combined and you came up with you needed 545 megawatts, what study shows that LA Basin was sufficient for the combined area? They may have been sufficient for them looking by themselves. We basically need all three studies, just LA Basin alone, San Diego alone, and the combined, to see if there's any cost shifting going around between the different TAC areas.
So even though the studies are done together, the requirements are split by TAC areas, and they're each sent to different LSEs to procure, and they did met their requirements. They were actually long. The San Diego LSEs did not met their requirements.
I understand some LSEs in the San Diego area did not meet the requirements, but this was of the requirements, the CPM.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Well, the CPUC set requirements were lower than what the CPM brought the San Diego area up to.
Yeah, the CPUC requirements, they have really no bearing on the ISO local capacity needs. Local capacity needs were specified in the LCR technical study. Those numbers were requirements were allocated by the ISO to the CPUC in July, and the PUC made a decision to have lower requirements. That has no bearing to the ISO backstop. The LSEs are still held to the numbers that the ISO had in its study requirements, not the number approved by the PUC. The PUC will hold you responsible to their numbers. The ISO will hold you responsible to the ISO number.
Okay, thanks.
How will CAISO incorporate load migration for local RA during the 2018 year? The CPUC is responsible for load migration, and the ISO will follow the tariff as it was written when the designation was made. The CPUC provides local true-ups for load migration for the second half of 2018. Would the CAISO use these new requirements to allocate the CPM credits and costs? The answer is same as the last one. So the PUC is responsible for load migration, but will not be readjusting credits. How will the CAISO allocate costs if a new LFE forms that currently does not have an RA requirement? So the new LFE doesn't have any local requirements for 2018, so they don't get any credits or any requirements for 2018 if there's a new LFE that's forming in 2018. So one of the entities request the CAISO to provide a monthly breakout of the aggregate collective deficiency from the aggregate LFE deficiency in order to allow LFEs to validate the megawatts of credit provided. So this has to go through the data request process because we never like share the collective information. But we did share the individual LFEs breakout for individual and collective, so you should already have that. The next question is, did the CAISO include RAM local RA supply as part of the LFE deficiency calculation? Not including the local RAM resources in the calculation increases the IOU's local RA deficiency and reduces the collective deficiency allocation. So we did receive the RAM values from the CPUC, and we did use that while computing the individual and collective deficiency. So will existing RMR credits that are submitted via the RA template override the CAISO CPM credits because it's using the same field in CIRA? I believe we sent an email, so there was an outreach to all the LFCs on how to fill your RA template. So regarding the RMR and CPM credits, you don't have to put any of those credits on your other tab in the plan because the ISO already has that information. So we received the demand response and the RMR credits from the PUC, and that's already set up, as well as the CPM credits is also set up in this system. And as an LFE, you don't have to put anything on your other tab. The only credit that will show up is the CAM credit. So I don't have the CAM information, so you would list the CAM as a system RA credit on your RA plan. How will the CAISO change the CPM credit as the Carlsbad Energy Center resource comes online? I believe this was answered part of the designation report as well as the market notice. So when this unit comes online, we'll reduce the CPM on Encina. But the requirement is that Carlsbad Energy Center has to get an NQC and has to be shown on the supply plan. So it has to follow the regular month-ahead RA process similar to any other unit that comes online. So does it Carlsbad Energy Center only show up on a single LSE's RA plan? Well, this is outside the control of the ISO because the RA contracting is bilateral, and we have no say into how the unit is contracted between the LFE and the supplier. So will other LFEs submit their RA plan with the expected CPM credit, and then will the CAISO lower the monthly CPM credit? Okay, fine. Regarding this again, the credit fees, we already have the credits. We are not going to reallocate the credits. And all that information only shows up in CIRA, so the LSE need not do anything about that. Next question. Carlsbad Energy Center is expected to be approximately 500 megawatts upon COD. Will the CAISO continue to CPM 45 megawatts of Encina during the retirement of Encina and after Carlsbad Energy Center reaches COD? As of now, the 545 megawatt CPM designation holds, and regarding the additional 45, that falls into the month-ahead process. So whenever Encina retires and Carlsbad comes online, we'll have to assess at that point in time. So as of now, the 545 megawatt holds for the entire year. And we'll deal with that part of the month-ahead RA process. How will CAISO communicate the affected LSEs the CPM credits have changed? So this is again part of the month-ahead process. So similar to what we did this morning, wherein we send an email to all the LSEs with the breakout of the credits. If for whatever reason the credits change, then we'll do another outreach part of the month ahead cost. So you know exactly the allocation that you're getting. If FERC approves the CAISO's RSI 1B tariff amendment, how will the monthly capping of local requirements affect the CPM credit? So for the if, I think FERC already approved it. And then the local capping doesn't really impact the CPM credits because we are just reducing the local requirement. So now if the local requirement happens to be greater than the system requirement, then we will cap the local requirement, which is the RSI functionality. So it shouldn't really impact the CPM credits.
Okay. We'll take the first question, please.
Hi, this is Vanessa from San Francisco. I actually have a question on your last point about the CPM credits changing. Does that happen often? Do you anticipate that they would change? Would all the credits change for each month in the for the
No, the credits shouldn't change. The question was related to Carlsbad Energy Center coming online, and then we would, and then reduce the CPM on Encina when Carlsbad is shown as an RA resource. At that point, we might have to look at the credits because the CPM reduced. Otherwise, I don't see a scenario where the credits will change every month. So it's already allocated, and it will remain a static number for the entire year.
Okay, thanks.
All right, next caller, please.
Hi, this is Melton from San Diego Gas Electric. Going back to question 19, on the 45 extra megawatts of Encina, you said that would end up being in the month ahead process possibly. Is the idea of, you know, if Encina is no longer available, the ISO would still need to make up the 45 megawatts from another type of another resource? And if that's the case, the cost allocation and the crediting would change on that side as well?
Okay, this is Catalin. Let me tag that a little bit. After entire Carlsbad Energy Center is COD, after all the 500 megawatts are up, there is an obligation for Encina to stop operating. So at that point in time, the entire 545 will be gone. And in that monthly process, whenever this is going to happen, I know what that month might be, the ISO will have to assess on the month ahead process if it still requires the extra 45 megawatts or not, and whom is available and effective at that time without a contract to fill that in. At this point in time, all we know is that once Carlsbad Energy Center is fully operational at 500 megawatts and declares COD and Encina cannot operate, therefore the 545 will be completely gone from the Encina.
And that would happen after the month ahead showings, right? Because then that's where you would run the monthly CPM, the month ahead CPM.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, next caller, please.
Hi, this is Deb at Sonoma Clean Power. Just a quick operations question. I know there's a monthly CPM charge code, 7896. Where should we anticipate seeing this annual CPM show up as far as charging us?
Can you repeat that question, please?
I'm just trying to figure out where we should expect to look on our invoicing, where we'll see this annual charge. We realize there's a monthly CPM charge code, but I've never seen an annual come through, so just trying to figure out, does it have its own charge code, or will it be embedded in the annual ring?
Yeah, this is Jeremy Malekos from Settlements. Let me get one of our technical SMEs here that can describe that. I'll try to get him here before the end of our meeting. We'll come back to that question. Thank you.
And if we can't come back to it, we will get your information and obviously reach out to you and let you know. Okay. And next question.
the last two questions. The last two questions are related to the capping of the local requirement. So they're asking if will it change the collective deficiency and the individual deficiency because of the capping? The answer is no. The designation was made in the annual time frame. The credits were already allocated, and that shouldn't really impact any of the month-ahead capping if the local requirement is more than the system. So no change to the CPM credits. Pretty much it.
So those are all the questions that we have received. Does anyone want to ask another question or something else at this point?
All right, I'll take the first caller.
Hi, this is Vanessa from San Francisco. I was just calling to make sure. So the allocations that we got this morning from Mark, so those shouldn't be reflected in CIRA yet. Is that correct?
So those will be reflected in CIRA for both March and April. You'll see your total requirement lowered. So if you go out to the obligation report in the validation view results screen, you'll see that reflected there.
Okay, so I should be able to see that right now or within the next
For March and April. So yeah, after the first cross-validation is executed, the requirement obligation report will populate.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
No problem.
Okay, next caller, please.
Hi, this is Melton from San Diego Gas and Electric. When will the ISO populate the remaining months in CIRA?
Well, I'll do it as time permits. I said as time permits. So March and April is already in the system, and we have emailed the credits to all the LSEs for the entire year. It's just that we need to get the data into CIRA for, I think, May going forward. Currently, I do have some credit information up till June that I received from the PUC. So we'll probably be able to set up May and June sometime this week or next week. But after June, I think I'll have to work with the PUC to get the remaining information. But nothing should change on the numbers that we sent out. So you already have an idea of what the overall CPM credits are for the entire year.
Okay, thanks. A couple of RACPGs ago, the ISO committed to providing more collective information. You know, aggregate information on RA. Does the ISO plan to do that to include the CPM information as far as, you know, the aggregate showings and whether or not on a monthly basis the aggregate deficiencies and such?
Well, yeah, I'll have to take that to the data release committee. So at this point, I don't have the answer. I know we did release some data in the past. So if it's the same kind of data, then I can share it with participants. But since the CPM is new, I'll have to take it to the data release committee and get their approval before we can share it on the CPG.
Yeah, on the last call, I think possibly in the CPG, we asked for the ISO to release the collective deficiency information. And I think there was a commitment to provide the aggregate data because since it is aggregate, it's in the tariff for the ISO to release that information. So it would be really great to have that information in front of other people so that we can figure out what's going on with the RA program. And then, go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is David. I believe that a city ticket was submitted on this issue, and that's been routed through this data release process, and I think that's, as Gotham was saying, you know, I think it does need to be just considered as in that venue as the centralized sort of way to think about different data release issues. So that will be teed up for that in the next. I don't know what the schedule of that is, but the answer on that will be forthcoming.
All right, we will take the next call. Oh, go ahead, Noah.
Yeah, sorry, one more thing. Will the ISO published all these questions and the answers provided on its website so that not only LSEs can understand the situation given the first-time nature of this CPM?
Hang on one second, please. Sorry for the delay. We are not going to publish the questions because we are recording this call, and we think there's a little bit more value in people hearing the answers because obviously there's been some additional discussion around it. So we're going to publish the recording.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, next caller, please.
Hi, folks. This is Jason Armenta from Calpine. I think you may have covered it, but it came through a little garbled. I just wanted to make sure I understood it. As it pertains to San Diego, if you received an individual allocation for the entire year, regardless of what happens between Encina and Carlsbad and when Carlsbad ultimately comes up and Encina goes away, that allocation, that individual allocation that you received, you're saying it will not change? Is that correct?
And then 1 moment. Oh, sorry. Okay. So this is Cattle, and our intention is to not change the numbers until Carlsbad can be counted for RA and it's on the supply plans. But once can be counted for RA is on the supply plans, any part thereof, it will reduce the CPM from Encina. So at that point in time, I guess Mark will have to share with you another spreadsheet about what the actual numbers are, and they will be reduced. Our intention is to reduce the same blowshare ratio as it is now. But yeah, once megawatts are coming off the CPM designation, that would be reflected in the numbers for the LSEs, obviously paying for those.
Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question? If I could. So the fundamental issue becomes around sort of planning and sort of remarketing. Obviously, this allocation reduces your system requirement, and presumably LSEs would want to then remarket any overhang that they have as a result of this allocation. But if you subsequently lose the allocation, then of course it could completely change your position up. I guess the question is, will it be done in advance of the month, you know, kind of on a month-by-month basis such that, you know, once a showing is passed, at least that month won't be affected? You won't come back after the T45 for at least a particular month and say, no, you lost that allocation for at least that specific month. That way you don't get kind of caught short at the late. You know, if you decide to remarket RA because you got an allocation and it's post T45, you won't come back and say, well, no, actually, guess what happened? Encina went away and Carlsbad came back up, and I know we're past the T45, but you lost that allocation.
Hey, this is Gautam here. So the idea is that we are not going to change it after T-45. So that's why the Carlsbad Energy Center has to follow the normal RA process. So it has to get an NQC and be shown on the plans before T-45. So let's say it comes online after that, then we are not saying that becomes an RA unit and will like change the credits after, like, let's say T-11 or T-7, for example. So it has to happen before the 45-day cutoff.
Okay. All right. No, I appreciate it. It certainly clarifies how if you have excess length as a result of one of these allocations, what it sounds like is, hey, be careful about reselling it because you could lose it somewhere midway through the year or something like that, possibly. Okay. Thanks.
And for that, next question, please.
Hi, this is Chris Cuneo, and I'm calling on a recorded phone line. My question is, in the way that we were aware of our individual deficiency and we were given the additional time until mid-December to try and purchase additional RA to cover that individual deficiency, was there any posting of the collective deficiency of the local RA so that participants had an opportunity to try and, you know, perhaps procure more RA to either reduce their own portion of the collective deficiency or the, you know, the overall collective deficiency?
Yes, this is Catalin with the ISO. So the market notice and the report went out on November 13, informing everybody what the collective, what the potential in total individual deficiencies were and what the potential collective was. The report had a list with all the units that were still available and how many megawatts was available on every unit that was required to meet the standards. So if you go back on November 13, there was a market notice, a link to the report. The report is still on the ISO website with detailed information of all of it.
Okay. Yeah, I do think I remember that notice. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller, please.
Hey, this is Michelle Keto from the CPUC. I just wanted to clarify the transition from the CPM to Carlsbad. So as the CPM goes down, your crediting mechanism for Encino would go down, but you won't be crediting the CAM resource, the Carlsbad resource. That will come through a CAM allocation through the CPUC. So there will have to be some forward coordination since we only do CAM allocations quarterly. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Very useful.
Thank you.
All right. Next question, please.
Hi, this is Vanessa Tavares from San Francisco. I have more of a broad question. I remember getting some of these CPM designation market notices last year for a couple of months, but I don't recall receiving any or seeing any CPM credits show up in CIRA. Should those have shown up or, how does that work?
Hey, Gautam here. So some of the CPMs that we have done in the past are all exceptional dispatch related CPM. So since that happens during the month, the LSE doesn't get any credit because the RA showing was already made and the CPM is happening real time. The reason you're seeing a credit for this type of a CPM is because it happened in the annual time frame, and since it's before the T-45, cutoff for the month-end process, we are giving a credit for the LSE. So we don't ask the LSEs to procure, even though we did the CPM ahead of time.
Okay, so then we wouldn't even get, I guess, money back in one of the charge codes in the previous year?
No, not for the exceptional dispatch CPM. There is no crediting. That's right. Correct.
Okay, thanks. And the question previously about the annual CPM charge codes that I think Sonoma Clean Power asked, I would like to know the answer to that as well.
We actually can answer that now.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So you asked for where you will see the charge code. If you are the supplier, it will be in charge code 7891. If you are an LSE being allocated for individual deficiency allocation, or in the months where there's collective deficiency, you will see it under charge code 7896. So this will show up in 7896 as a pass-through bill, PTB. That's what you would expect to see. And we will be updating the BPMs for this charge code I just mentioned. There will be a market settlement research group email that would say about this thing. So you expect that in the next, 2 weeks. And then the first billing for January will be sometime around February 3 of this year. These annual CPM is actually split. The charges for this will be split each month. So even though we know already how much will be cost allocated for the entire year, you will not get the bill for the entire year. It will be on a month-by-month basis. So this question on Carlsbad coming and later on, we can actually adjust that because we will give them 45 days, I think, before the trading month. So that would also allow you to, we will not be charging you until such time that we know more information about Carlsbad. Thank you.
Yeah, the DPM will be updated and sent out as an emergency PRR before February 3.
All right. And with that, just as a reminder, when you are finished with your question, please press pound 2 to put your hand down. And with that, we'll take the next question.
Yeah, hi, Greg Klatt from Douglas and Liddell. Did you cover the relationship between the annual CPM and the monthly CPM in the first call back on the 10th?
What do you mean relationship?
Well, are the credits, and I'm assuming the charges are cumulative, but are the credits cumulative? You take the annual and you add the monthly to in terms of their impact on your requirements, your other requirements, or does the monthly, the one that comes out the month ahead, does that supplant, replace the annual allocation you got for that month?
So if there is a month-wide CPM, so let's say we do a month-wide CPM for March, right, as an example, the annual CPM credits will not change. That remains a static value. So in case there's a month-ahead CPM for March, there is no crediting for the month-ahead CPM because the month-ahead CPM is happening like a week before the start of the month. So there's really no credits given to the LSEs.
Okay, so it's a backfill operation and there's just a charge for that month, the month ahead.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Yep. So in this scenario, the month ahead will also show up on your statement for the LSE.
Okay, thank you.
Also, we will, when we send out the recording of this, we'll resend out the recording of the call on the 10th, so you can listen to that as well.
They'll be in the same location.
They'll be together.
Okay, and we'll take the next caller.
Hi, this is Mohan with CDWR, and my question is, when ISO designates, can LSE receive the allocation amount on the same day or following day so that we have enough time to, you know, reflect those allocations and probably submit in the, like, you know, make right plans and then submit to ISO? How much is
hey,
that time?
Mohan, this is Mark.
Yeah.
So remember, there is no allocation credit on the month ahead process.
No, I understand that, but when we submit our plan, we need to put the right megawatts in our own resources, taking into account the credits that would be coming. So that would be helpful.
Right.
And
so the email that you received from me this morning is the credit amount that DWR received.
Yeah, I mean, this is for now, but, I mean, let's say next year you're going to have the same situation. Then if you designate on December 2nd for the coming year, then if we receive allocations on December, let's say, 3rd, then we would have opportunity to submit plans for February accordingly without any, you know, readjustment to the resources we are going to make for March now.
I understand your question now. So you're referring to the January and February timing, similar to this year, how January and February you weren't able to claim those credits.
Yeah.
And for that, I look to other colleagues in the room on how fast we can get the credited amount out to LSEs.
Hang on a second.
Yeah. My question was, is there a time lag between providing allocations and the designation?
Hey, Mon, Gautam here. So we'll try to get or finish the process as early as we can. But remember, there is a 30-day cure period. So the showings come in on the 31st of October, and then the ISO needs at least, I would say, 2 weeks to validate the showings, run the base case, finish our engineering assessment, and then issue a market notice. So that's probably the fastest we can get the market notice out. And once we get the market notice out, the LSEs have 30 days, so that takes us into mid-December. So unless if the LSEs agree for probably a shorter cure period of maybe 1 week, then we can probably make the December 3rd or December 1st, so you can hit the T-minus 45 deadline for February. But that's more of a conversation, and we'll, so we'll have, that will be a separate call to figure out if you want to really change the timeline, because that will, you know, include a lot of stakeholder comments, as well as we need to involve the CPUC to figure out how we want to realign the annual RA process.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be beneficial for LSEs. And another follow-up question is, when ISO publishes the annual collective deficiency in November, can LSEs also receive, like, you know, their tentative obligations also, so we can go ahead and procure from those listed resources?
So when we post the market notice, we cannot issue the obligation because we don't know if they're doing a CPM at that point. So because that's the idea of the cure period, because we're allowing people to procure additional RA based on a deficiency identified part of engineering assessment. So if LSEs fail to procure and then the ISO does a CPM, then you get a revised obligation. So it's really not possible to give you a revised local and system RA obligation before the cure period ends, because that defeats the purpose of the cure period.
Okay.
However, this is Catalin. As I explain every year, the report is published, the collective range is published. You can do your own low share ratio within the TAC, because ISO already told you what your low share ratio is with the TAC, and you can come up with your own numbers based on what the collective deficiency is in the report. You can do that on your own.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. If you have any additional questions, please press pound 2 to come into the queue, because currently we have no more questions. So. All right. I do not see any additional questions, so I will thank you for your time. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll talk later.
This conference, the call has now concluded. You may disconnect.